All right. Ordinance 315-2024-02, Caldwell County Fiscal Court, a summary of an ordinance establishing licensure requirements from solar energy systems in Caldwell County, Kentucky. Whereas pursuant to KRS 67-083, the Caldwell County Fiscal Court has granted the authority to undertake all necessary governmental actions for the welfare of the county, and specifically is endowed pursuant to KRS 67-0833-H and KRS 67-0833-M for the regulation of commerce for the protection and convenience of the public and with the power to protect and conserve the county's natural resources, including but not limited to soil and wildlife, to safeguard the livelihoods and well-being of its residents. And whereas KRS 278-718 became effective June 29th, 2023, and further provides that an ordinance, permit, or license issued by a local government and enacted under the provisions of Home Rule under KRS Chapter 6780, 6783, 67850, 67922, 67A60, 67C101, and 8282, shall have primacy over the provisions, including setback requirements set forth in KRS 278-700, 278-704, 278-706, 278-708, and any conflicts between an order of the board and a local ordinance, permit, or license shall be resolved in favor of the local government's ordinance, permit, or license. And whereas the Caldwell County Fiscal Court finds it necessary and appropriate to provide reasonable safeguards which mitigate potential nuisances such as soil erosion, water runoff and erosion, large-scale loss of agricultural land, and impacts to local flora and fauna, among others, created by large-scale ground-mounted solar energy systems, is defined herein in order to protect adjoining properties and public rights-of-way. Now, therefore, be it ordained by the Caldwell County Fiscal Court as follows. Subsection C, license required and renewal license. Subsection 1, prior to the commencement of physical construction or enlargement of a large-scale solar energy system, the responsible entity, applicant, must obtain a Caldwell County Solar Energy System license. Additionally, a renewal license shall be required concomitant with the updating of the decommissioning plan as stipulated in Section D1D hereafter. Subsection 6, when a license is issued, it shall remain in effect unchanged provided the applicant maintains compliance with the terms of this ordinance and the conditions of the original approval. Subsection D, specific requirements. Subsection 1, the following standards shall apply to the siting, construction, installation, enlargement, operation, maintenance, and decommissioning of large-scale SES. Subsection A, setbacks. The SES footprint shall be set back no less than 2,000 feet from any non-participating property line and any right-of-way for a publicly maintained roadway or rail line. Subsection B, perimeter access and screening. Access to the site must be controlled by a fence of at least 8 feet in height with a vegetative landscape buffer provided between the fencing and the property line. The fence shall be equipped with screening to help shield the facilities and equipment from view. Screening shall consist of subsection I, an 8-foot tall fence and double row of staggered evergreen trees, minimum 5 feet in height of planting and maturing to a minimum of 15 feet in height. Evergreen trees shall be planted exterior to the fence and shall be set back no less than 15 feet from any property line. Screening shall achieve an opacity of 90% to a height of no less than 8 feet within 3 years of planting. Screening shall be installed within 180 days of the start of physical construction and shall be maintained until the decommissioning of the SES is completed, and all unhealthy, dead, or non-compliant planting shall be repaired or replaced within 90 days of such occurrence. Subsection G, license transfer, notification, required exhibits. Subsection 3, all other state and regulatory laws that are not specifically addressed by this ordinance remain in effect. Subsection 5, any person found in violation of this ordinance shall be guilty of a misdemeanor and shall be fined not less than $100 and not more than $500. Each day of violation shall constitute a separate offense. A copy of the proposed ordinance with full text is available for public inspection at the Office of the County Judge Executive, 100 East Market Street, Room 27, Princeton, Kentucky, 42445, during normal business hours, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday. Before we turn it over to discussion, just a comment of mine. I know that this is a very passionate subject on both sides of the divide. The state sets requirements for many things. They do not for these solar energy systems. They decide to delegate that authority to the county, which is what led to the decision to move forward with this ordinance. The big impetus, at least for me, is the fact that with this ordinance, the power to make these decisions returns to Caldwell County, and now with the PSC in Frankfort. I don't imagine this will be the last time this ordinance is looked at. I'm not saying that it's perfect or that there won't be changes to be made down the road. However, I feel that this is a step in the right direction to make sure the Caldwell County decisions are made by Caldwell County residents. I'll ask Fiscal Court first if they have any comments or discussion they would like to have.
A lot of research and effort went into this. We started down this road in 19, And the original two projects here had already filed with Public Service Commission prior to us starting. I had talked, different other members of the court had talked to the legislative people in Frankfort about it. The state was fixing to set an ordinance up, and they suggested that we wait till the state got their feet under them. We went ahead and left things alone until recently, and things had started to see what the state had done, and we did a lot more research on it, worked with it. Christian County had got a special firm in here. Jeff Sims can speak more to this than myself. He spent more time with them. But my concern with the ordinance was how enforceable was, whether it was written by a law firm that was familiar with solar ordinances. People that I deal with on this don't understand, but if you got heart problems, you're not going to go to a foot doctor. And that's a kind of a silly comment. But lawyers specialize in different areas. Accountants specialize in different areas, just like doctors do. And once I had some time to spend with these people, and Jeff Sims has spent some time with them, and Brent had researched it, and Everett had, as well as the judge, and then I felt comfortable following the lead of what Christian County had processed.
Any other comments from the court?
I think the big thing that we want you to think about is you, no matter the side of the issue on this, is how much and how delicate the balance is for us trying to balance home rule and use of your land and our desire to tell people in the county what they can use their land for versus being a good neighbor. And I mean, I think that's what dictates and governs our way of life in rural areas. If we didn't want to have a say, we'd live in New York City. So, I just want people to know the amount of discernment that the people on this court took, and I appreciate that discernment, looking toward a solution that would be amicable to both the neighbor and the landowner. And what we're putting forward is not an impetus to either. It's a spirit of cooperation. So.
Any other comments?
Dakota, I personally want to say I've got neighbors that's for this, and I got neighbors that's not for it. My wife and children leased our farm to a company, a solar company, and which they dropped the lease after about 2 years because they said there wasn't a grid, is that what I want to say?
Transmission lines.
The Frito-Lay area. So, you know, I've kind of got mixed feelings on this. I don't like to tell a farm owner what they can do with their ground. And that's getting bad whenever we start telling the farmers or the people that own their property what they can do. We talk about that 2,000-foot buffer. What if that company say, hey, I'm going to put in chicken houses or hog houses? There's enough room. Are we going to put an ordinance on those?
No, the state doesn't allow us to do that.
And, you know, that's what I'm asking. Where does it end? So, you know, I've got mixed feelings. There's a lot of it. Hey, I'm 100% for it. And then there's some of the things in here that I'm against. So, but I am for the property owners. If they, if they feel like it, that's what they want to do to their ground, I stand with them.
Any other comments?
Well, I don't think we're trying to. I haven't. I've talked to them several different times. I own a little piece of ground. And there was a large group of people that contacted us about a certain junkyard in the county.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have no problem with telling him he had to go back 2,000 feet. So I'm going to stand. I own a little ground. I don't want to be, and I'm not telling anybody. I'm not voting to tell anybody they can't what they can and what they can't do on the farm.
Right.
But you've got to protect the people around them too. And that's what I'm voting for. Those people.
Everybody's got to have a voice in the process.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And we're not looking at penalizing landowners, which I'm sure it feels that way. We're looking at protecting the people with the major investments next to them.
We're saying that, especially with a full house, we'd love to hear any comments from the audience as well. We just ask that with so many people, we keep it as brief as possible. So I will turn it over to anyone who would like to speak. Yes, ma'am.
I just have a question, and it is to that 2,000 square feet.
Yes, ma'am.
Like Albert said, if something else wanted to come in on the land, what is their normal setback in Caldwell County?
There's none. Normally, restrictions of that kind require comprehensive planning and zoning, which we don't have in Caldwell County, which we do have it in the city. But the state legislature, when they were updating KRS 278, which regulates solar energy systems, specifically created a carve-out just for solar farms.
And is there a reason that that 2,000 number sits out? I'm just trying to understand why the 2,000 feet, why didn't we decide 1,000 or 1,500? What was their thought process in the 2,000?
2,000 was referenced in the state statute for the setback for residential neighborhoods, and that seems to be the standard that many counties are pursuing. There's not anything specific about 2,000 compared to 1,800 or 1,000 or 500. I really think, at least for me, the impetus for having any sort of setback requirement is that it brings the solar companies to the negotiating table with the adjoining property owners.
That's one thing I want to mention. As restrictive as this may seem, as long as every non-participating adjoining landowner signs an agreement that's enforceable after they sell their property, just like an easement would be, then if all adjoining non-participating landowners agree to a 100-foot setback, 500-foot setback, a 750-foot setback, they're welcome to do that. We're not restricting that. We're just setting a starting point guideline. Is what we're yes, yeah,
yes.
Because it's not our intent to tell you what you can do on your ground. Yeah. Much like Brent said, I own a piece of ground. Much like Albert, and I live in the county because I don't want anybody telling me what to do with my ground.
Ma'am, I want to just say this. You mentioned the state. Each one of us, we have spent many hours at our state capitol. And it's getting worse all the time. Our state government is passing it down to the counties. They said, hey, y'all take care of it. And so they're not sending us money to take care of it. So, we're stuck with it, and we don't have a choice on a lot of these things.
And I'm really okay with it. I just was wondering what the reasoning was and just trying to understand.
Yes, ma'am. And I know your name, but will you state it so that Jennifer can keep it in the records?
I'm Angela Magny, and I'm a Lyon County resident, but I am adjoining this solar project on Pleasant Valley.
We won't hold it against you that you're from Lyon County. Yes, ma'am. Yes, the...
Would you?
In the back. Yes, ma'am.
Hi, I would like everyone to at least take into consideration the health issues that these large solar farms create. Hypersensitivity, behavior issues, nausea, headaches, the list goes on and on. It's gonna be noisy. There's gonna be a constant hum, and I don't know if anyone here has tinnitus, but it's gonna be worse than that.
Can you state your name, ma'am, please?
Kathy Schmidt.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Schmidt. Yes. Any other comments this morning? Oh, yes, sir.
I think that the 2,000 feet thing is kind of way out there. You're talking 6 football fields away. I mean, in perspective, when you think about that, there's very few farms in Caldwell County that don't have a landowner within that range. If we were in Kansas and everything's in a square mile, I could see that working out. But I've got a neighbor right in the middle of the farm. I don't intend to have panels put around his house, but I want to come to some kind of compromise when I know that they're going to do it with him in some kind of in writing compromise. But if you take him and you take 2,000 feet perimeter all the way around it, we're done. There's not going to be an energy boost from us. Our ground's useless, you know? And then you got a road down through there. So I think there ought to be some compromises made on this 2,000 feet thing. That's pretty much 6 football fields away is pretty ridiculous. And another thing is, as far as solar panels being so dangerous, I mean, people's got them on top of their houses. They got them right outside their yards. They got them at the grain bins. I mean, I worked at Martin Marietta Energy, okay? You talk about dangers. This nuclear thing, this is dangerous. You know what they're doing with the waste? They're putting it in some tanks that Thompson out here made, some of those tanks for a while. I was involved in that. They're putting it in these tanks, and they're taking it down there in Alabama and putting it in the ground. I've been to that site, too. And you think about this. Solar panels is nothing compared to what's going on with some of this other stuff.
So, can you state your
2,000 feet is just, I mean, you might as well forget it. When you have these blackouts like we had a couple years ago and it's 10 below zero and you're out of power for 4 hours, you've got some elderly people and it's 110 out there and they're out of power for 4 hours because we can't make enough. I mean, we don't have enough energy coming from the dams. There's no way to increase this. It's going to be wind, solar, something's going to happen. But the 2000 thing is just, I think, blows it out of water. It's just telling me you don't want it.
Can you, state your name for the record as well.
John Fitzgerald.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Fitzgerald. Oh, Mr. Crisp.
You had mentioned that the state gave the counties the right to do this ordinance.
Yes, sir.
Chapter 278.
Yes, sir.
So basically, with the 2,000 feet, you can it creates a way to give a variance to the solar farms. Is
yes.
Correct?
Yeah, the ordinance includes that there's a waiver from the non-participating property owners if they agree.
Okay. So is there? So, I mean, how's that work? Kind of like a board of adjustments?
Yes, we're going to have a county review board created under home rule statute. And if this ordinance goes through, we'll have that at the next ordinance, actually creating the membership for that.
Okay. So if there's one holdout landowner that affects a project, can that one homeowner be overruled by the board?
No. The rights stay with the non-adjoining property owners. Okay.
So then that explains why the solar farms is trying to throw a lot of money to purchase the homeowner to agree to less than 2,000 feet.
Well, I can't comment on that, but I mean
that appears to be what the talk is.
That's their option to work with them.
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
And state your name, please. I know it, but.
But we need to emphasize it. I think maybe Jeff did. For instance, Jeff and I joined farms, and he released a solar panel group, and I did too. Well, as far as I can understand that, we could have right on the boundary.
Yes.
It's not, part of it. So anywhere we can, if we agree to both sides, then it can be right on the property line.
Just for the record, I totally 100% support planning and zoning and everybody agreeing to grow our community in a comprehensive, correct way. So.
No. Yes.
Melissa Fitzgerald. My comment is, which I'm for the solar, and I know one of the aspects that people brought us as well, it's going to devalue my land. It's an eyesore, this and that. What I look at now, live on Honor Pond Road, and you know, not everybody's fortunate to have a nice looking place, but at the same time, you know, what I see in the county on our road and multiple others is we've got one homeowner in particular that was kind of grandfathered in. The prior owner, who's a relative of who lives there now, they've got dozens of rotting and rusting vehicles. They've got old farm equipment that will never leave. They have got all these things that are a eyesore, and they are right on the side of the road. We've got a neighbor that's another road over that borders our property. We have approached we had the sheriff's department come out and speak with them. We contacted the Caldwell County Health Department because we have a photo of it. I didn't have time to get a lot of it because I didn't realize all this was going on until yesterday late. But basically, they have got an aluminum boat they pulled up there. They've got trash going out the back of their yard. This has been going on for the last couple of years since they littered. They basically have no trash service. They're piling bags and bags and bags of trash out their back door. Right now, our ground is being cropped by a farmer. Anyhow, trash is blowing over. There's no resolution for things like this. These are eyesores. the trash affects us, yes, because it can affect our farm. Mm-hmm. Okay, but that trash is in a residential neighborhood. It's not being addressed. Things like the debris that people bring in is not being addressed. That is something that affects somebody's land. That is an eyesore. Nothing like that's being done. And on the flip side, it would be like, we're all landowners here too. If, you know, the Mennonites, Amish are coming into the area, they're paying a lot more for land. What is to say at some point that there's not an ordinance passed and say, hey, we don't want to meet any more of their group here, and say they're going to offer you 20% over whatever the going rate is, you know, and, you know, that's a pretty good sum of money. But anyways, you know, who's to say that I can't sell my farm to them? Right now we have somebody, some of them moving next to us, they've got a large scale dairy operation. I'm going to smell it. You know, I have to deal with it. Like you said, there's no ordinance for it. So the limitations on things that are going on, this 500 feet, you know, that I know from the ESA solar who we've talked with and everything, they're saying that's really all they can handle. If we go to this 2,000 feet, it's going to be a death knell for them. There's no way, just like John said, you know, it's not like we're out in Kansas or Dakotas and everybody's in squares. You know, you've got owners here, and even an owner that doesn't have a residence can say, hey, if they don't like one of the people, I mean, and it's a personal thing. If they don't happen to like one of the people, because we don't necessarily get along with one of our neighbors, if they don't like the people, they're going to say, hey, I'm just going to do this, and it's going to knock everybody out. So there's a lot of aspects to it, other than just saying, well, it's a setback, it's protection. And like he said, you know, two football fields would be plenty. That would be plenty enough of a setback to protect, you know, especially when, you know, a county roadway goes through the middle of it. It's going to chop it to where it's not going to be feasible for it to happen.
Thank you, Ms. Fitzgerald.
Thank you.
Ms. Schmidt, did you have another comment?
Yes, sir. Hearing me out. There are already established setbacks on a website called climatecafe.org. It explains all the setbacks for the size of the solar farms and everything. So if you want to go to that website, it's called climatecafe.org.
Thank you, Ms. Schmidt.
Yes.
Any other comments from the audience? Yes, ma'am.
Somebody said something about the noise from the solar units. Mm-hmm. At least in Pleasant Valley, we have a grain drying facility that we hear 365. I can't imagine it's going to be any louder than that already is. Is there a setback on that? No. But I'm just saying, we already have, at least where I'm at, we've got the roads there, we've got the highways there, and then the grain drying facility. I don't see it's going to be any more than that.
Thank you, Ms. Magnet. Yes, sir.
My name is Mike Bowman. Number one, I got solar panels for my house. They don't know. My people are alert to
what was your last name, sir?
Bellman.
Okay, thank you.
They don't know. My cows run to south. They ain't died. So I don't know about them health issues. I hope not, because we've had them in about 4 years now. So that baby won't kill us.
Still kicking.
But I just got up down the river. That's what I do. I got a boat down the river. I'm telling you right now, they're shutting these power plants down. These whole plants are shutting down. And if this goes through where they kill all the fossil fuels, we ain't got no other choice but go to 20 years of development. And that's a fact. And it's 2,000 feet. It goes completely off of mine. I can't go away from my farm. I'm going to make a fee. And then who's going to take care of that one on me?
Thank you, Mr. Bellmer. Is it Bellmer?
Bellmer?
No, Bellmer. Any other comments?
Yeah, I've got one.
Yes, sir.
We,
could you stand up, please?
All right. We live on Pleasant Valley. It's about 20 homes out there. There's probably $7 or $8 million worth of properties in this area. We're not trying to tell anybody what they can and can't do. It's not our business what you do with your property until you devalue our property, change our way of life, where we're at. If you want to hear these inverters, the reason why yours don't, they don't sound, because you don't have a big inverter. Like, these inverters just have to fix these rooms. If you've ever had a 57 Chevy that's got a fan belt squeaking on it, put about 1,000 of them in the room and turn it on. It sounds like a major warehouse. There's cadmium, there's lead in these things. Dr. Paul said they're small amounts. When you make small amounts times 400,000, that's not a small amount anymore.
What was your name, sir? I apologize.
Tommy White.
Thank you.
Any other comments from the audience?
And I've got videos of that inverter screaming at 300 yards.
Yes, sir. Any last comments? Oh, yes, ma'am.
Okay, so you're talking about 2,000 feet of land, right?
Yes.
Are they all just going to be covered with solar panels? What are you doing with it?
2,000 foot is the setback.
Just like, Isabella, if this table right here was the panels, it would be 2,000 feet from the edge where those panels started. There would be that much bare property, our buildings, whatever, where they can't, the panels are not right against your house, or as Mr. White said, the inverters. One project that Jeff Sims and I had met with, looking at putting 300,000 panels, and somewhere around 300 inverters, I think. So you're looking at a pretty good ratio there of these inverters scattered continuously for this humming noise.
I think it was 30.
30. But Miss Maggie's comment, the grain drying system she's referencing is miles away. A
couple miles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just comes up that valley.
And we hear it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But those inverters are just a few hundred yards away.
Yeah, they're going to. When you start looking at the size of the project, they're going to be scattered sporadically all the way through.
That makes sense. Well, after
just
one,
point of clarification.
It's a very neat idea. And the ozone layer will be one half cancer. So.
Thank you.
One other thing I have talked to Paul about before this ordinance was created. What could you guys come back with us? What's the minimum you can do? Because they're talking about 50 feet from property line. The fencing and the shrubbery is 15 feet from property line. And I ask you, what can we do standing out there in that field? What can we do? What can you do better than this? What's the minimum you can do? And he told me this is pretty much what we got to have to make this operation go.
Any other comments? Yes, ma'am.
Hey, y'all. I'm Alexis Bowman. I'm actually the senior manager senior development manager for the Ashwood Solar Farm in Lyon County. I just wanted to come today to support our Pleasant Valley team. I want to offer Ashwood Solar as a resource for, you know, responsible development. It was permitted in 2021, and I'm definitely willing to talk about how that Kentucky State Siting Board process went with you all. But we did, you know, that 2,000-foot setback is part of the state statute, right? And we, and every project that has been permitted recently by the Kentucky State Siting Board, we ask for deviations, right? So Ashwood Solar has 150-foot setback from any property line that's a non-participating landowner, and 400 feet from any sensitive receptors, meaning residential areas, right, from inverters. So we are responsibly developing in the sense that we are making sure that these inverters that people are concerned about are located centrally, right, away from sensitive receptors. I just wanted to speak on that ordinance because, like so many landowners have said, the 2,000-foot setback is really seen as a ban to the industry, especially when we're not working with rectangular parcels. So anyway, I just want to thank you guys for the opportunity to speak today and be a resource for you all moving forward.
Alexis, what's your last name? Yes, Ms.
Magnus. I'd also like to point out that, you know, when you're talking about these setbacks, farmers do not have to have that setback. And I'm sure y'all have heard that we were oversprayed in 22, and our farmer next door to us didn't have that setback. And had they had a 2,000-foot setback, it just seems like we're talking, you know, spraying herbicides and pesticides as opposed to something that can help the planet.
I know I'm talking kind of to a group of people that are conventional farmers, and I understand that too, and there's nothing against that. I'm just saying that we've got to figure out a way to work together so that we can come about what needs to be done for our community in a way that serves the people that are worried about the inverters and the property values. I totally understand that, and I think they have a valued point. How can we work all of this together so that we're not denying what moving forward in an industry without shutting it down completely?
And I think that's a valued conversation. And like I mentioned earlier, and one thing I like about this ordinance, it puts county and the county residents in the driver's seat instead of the PSC. And I think there's been a lot of discussions. You know, we met with the solar companies, and their response to us was 50 foot from the property line and 150 foot from homes. So it's interesting to hear different setbacks that have been thrown out by solar companies. And I think there'll be discussions to be had moving forward. I don't think any of us are saying that we're set in stone, but what this ordinance would do is, like I said, put us as part of the conversation, put Caldwell County residents as part of the conversation, and allow us to potentially scale back once we find more information and once we have continued negotiations and conversations from these solar companies.
So what I'm hearing is you're open to it then?
Yes, we're not cast in stone to stay with
this. I think this is just a start point for us, and John, I agree with him, and I'm against a 2,000-foot buffer zone. I really am. But that can be, the way I'm taking it, can be changed in years, if, you know, as we move forward and we see it's not we've heard, maybe that can be changed, that buffer zone, you know.
Ordinances can always be amended down the road.
Yes. Right, can be changed.
So. We're putting a group together. We're putting a group together, and if they agree to something, all the property owners are just... They can do it, be it whatever. But we're going to do that next meeting.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
I'm Natalie Wyatt. I'm his wife.
Better half.
And I'm her neighbor. And it doesn't, we have done so much research, Angela.
No,
she has an organic farm, and she's very concerned over that organic farm. If we have a hailstorm, which we have pictures of where these things are just shattered in hailstorms, and they raise the heat level, and hailstorms are prominent in this area, all those chemicals are going to leak to the ground, and your organic farm is no longer organic. So that's just my statement.
Thank you, ma'am. Yes, sir.
One other thing I didn't say a while ago about the contract, several of us was offered cash settlements to agree to this, to be a, this non-participating and allow them to go ahead and do the variance and the waivers. But in that contract, it states, it should have a big header on the cover page and say, we've got you now. Because it states that we've got easement under your property, on top of your property, overhead. You can't plant trees, you can't do anything that would affect our solar operation. Nothing said negative, no lawsuits, nothing. It's got to be worked out between us.
So just to clarify, as a non-participating property owner, you were offered a cash settlement to agree to a waiver.
I think it worked. I know there's two in my neighbor. I don't know how many it was offered. Of course, we turned it down.
Yes, sir. All right, any final comments?
But back to Tommy's point, this is something that can be worked out between the participating landowners and the non-participating joining landowners. We're not trying to tell you what to do with the ground, because this is not where we're at.
Any final comments from the audience? Oh, sorry,
and
Mr. Tosh.
I'm Rick Tosh. I'm the county surveyor. I'm just going to speak on my experience from other counties that have had solar farms come into their area. And I'm not real familiar with what's being proposed here. I just know that there's one being proposed. And most cases that I've been experienced to is they don't purchase the land. They just obtain a lease from the landowner for a certain period of time to put these solar panels in. Now, these panels do have a life. I don't recall what it is, where's the 10 years, 20 years, or what it is, but once the life of that panel has been run through, the solar company can just walk off. We're done with our lease, they walk off, then the landowner's got a bunch of panels sitting out there on the property. In other counties where I have seen this come in, the county has required the solar company to put up a significant bond amount.
Yes, sir, and that's required in this ordinance. Yes, sir.
I haven't seen that, but a bond amount to cover the removal of these panels once the life of them has been run through.
And yes, sir. With the fiscal cord included as an additional insured in the event that it ends up being the fiscal cord and taxpayers that have to address this. Okay.
And it's set up also, Ricky, that bond has to be looked at every so many years.
5 years.
Make sure that it's still...
Yeah, maybe a $500,000 today, and it may be $3 million 30 years from now.
Got to love inflation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jeff, did you have something? Oh, sorry.
I will say, I spoke with Walker Thomas probably 2 years ago about this state representative, and he had said that, as I understand it, the state actually mandates the surety bond.
Yes, they both do.
So the state is actually involved on that part of it, at least, because that was one of, you know, his concerns, is like the remediation in the event that, when it's decommissioned, or if it's decommissioned. And I believe the life is around 30 years, which I think our solar brands, yeah, exactly. So that would, so around 30 years is about the life of the panel itself, is from what I understand on that. But anyways, just to add to that.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. What are we going to do for
waste
management? If every time we have a hailstorm or something, it's like a Category 2 tornado, so it's not uncommon around here. What are we going to do with all these panels? Hundreds of thousands of dollars, or hundreds of thousands of panels aren't landfills
in
line, and
Caldwell
can't take that.
There's always certain places that can take the panels.
I'm done digging landfills, hopefully.
Yes.
Amen.
I've had one and done.
Yes.
Mr. Chris, did you have a closing comment?
I just heard a new term, a sensitive receptor.
Mm-hmm. That's like a home or a church.
Or a person.
People.
Yeah. Okay. So now the surrounding landowners are receptors.
Well, we won't get into one-on-one conversation.
Government terminology.
It's just new terminology.
Definitions makes the world go around. All right. Any final comments?
My name is Paul Griffin. I'm a developer representing Pleasant Valley Solar, which straddles the border of both Lyon and Caldwell County. I'm with RWE as my company. And first of all, I just want to thank you guys for having us here to express our opinions on the ordinance. And also, I mean, this conversation here is indicative of a very healthy community. You know, you have neighbors here that are respectively, you know, providing comments on both sides of the table. I think this is a very healthy discussion to have, and hopefully everyone can, you know, leave these conversations, you know, still respectful neighbors and enjoy, you know, the property owner's rights and the lifestyle that everyone hopes to have out here. As the ordinance reads right now, we do see the 2,000-foot setbacks as restrictive to move forward with any solar development in Caldwell County. And we do understand, and it's your guys' right to govern and put some type of ordinance in place. What that appropriate amount is, you know, the portion where we're hoping to have more collaborative comments like this and conversations to figure out, you know, what's appropriate. That is our job as developers, to sit down with the communities and figure out what's safe, work with the fiscal court to understand what that middle ground is, and keep those conversations going. So we're not against ordinances. We just want the collaborative conversation that you guys are willing to have, continue these conversations and figure out what works for everyone. And as you guys, you know, if this ordinance passes today, we definitely are interested, once the review board gets set up, to have those conversations on how these things are going to be governed and continue these conversations. So that's kind of what we're looking for, is just having those conversations like what you guys are expecting out of us as responsible developers. So thank you for your time today. And yeah, we'll keep the conversation going and continue to work with neighbors.
One last thing the Crider area where the solar panels will be put, now they were approved by the state.
Yes.
This was way before, this was before.
The statute changed in June 2023.
So it is different. And that area, I think, what, 200 feet?
300 feet.
Yeah, so, you know.
Well, and those were all dependent on what the PSC granted. There was no setback requirements.
But anyway, it's a different situation than what we're having to deal with today. So I just want everyone to know that. And also out on Highway 641, I think y'all were granted by the state also, yes.
Yeah. Thank you for this conversation. I will now turn it back over to the fiscal court for decision on action on the second reading.
I'd like to express my appreciation for people taking an interest and coming and voicing your concerns instead of waiting and catching us this afternoon, next week. Y'all reached out to us ahead of time. You've shown up today, and we're here to serve you. It's not my opinion, not Albert's, not Brent's, not Jeff's, not Dakota's. We're here to represent y'all.
I make a motion we accept the two proposal as read.
We have second. A motion and a second. We have a motion by Stallings and a second by Boone.
I'm sorry.
You're good.
Great.
All right. Any further discussion? Hearing none, Ms. Jennifer, will you call the roll?
Okay. Judge Executive Young.
Yes.
Magistrate District 1, Albert Benning.
Before I vote, I just want to say this real quick. The good part outweighs the what I feel different about. So I just want to know that, and hopefully that we can do something down the road that can be changed. So I'll vote yes also. I've had a lot of hard thinking about this.
Yes.
Magistrate District 2, yes. Jeff Bone. Magistrate District 3, Brent Stallings.
Yes.
Magistrate District 4, Jeff Sims.
Yes.
Thank you, Ms. Jennifer. And thank you again for coming and sharing your opinions today. This is not the end of this conversation. There are still many chapters yet to be discussed. And we look forward to seeing how it ends up. And now, if you wouldn't, I know that a lot of y'all are here just for the solar ordinance. You're more than welcome to stay for the rest of the meeting, but if not, we won't hold it against you.
But stay in contact with us and keep us updated on what y'all are finding.
Thank y'all.